This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's hear the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you're a good, loving God, a God that we can always count on. You're a God that we can always depend on, and you're a God in whom we can always trust. Now, Father, right now, I yield myself to you as a vessel ready and willing to be used by you. I decrease everything in me so that you may increase. Holy Spirit, speak through my lips and think through my mind. Give me clear articulation of speech and clarity of thought as I open my mouth boldly to make known your word. Holy Spirit, bring those things to my remembrance which I've learned in my time of study, those illustrations and those examples that will bring clarity to your word. Because God, you know it's our earnest desire to know you more perfectly so that we can in turn serve you more faithfully. Father, we thank you for the word that will go forth, that our lives will never ever be the same. We thank you, Father, for the harvest, that none of the harvest is lost. And Father, let your anointing flow in this place from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Pour out into this auditorium so that our lives will be impacted by the word given on today. And Father, we give you alone the praise, the glory, the honor and the adoration for all that shall be accomplished and all that shall be revealed. In Jesus' name, amen. You should be at Mark chapter 5. And before we read our foundational scripture for today, I want to give you a snapshot of the story that we're about to read. The Bible talks about there was a man that the scripture calls him a demoniac. He was possessed with unclean spirits, and he had been living amongst the tombs and severely possessed, so that, you know, it was so bad that the Bible talks about how no chains could contain him and that no man could tame him. He was really out of control. And because of the unclean spirits tormenting him so, the Bible talks about how he would spend his days and his nights in the mountains and amongst the tombs, cutting himself with stones. But there came a point in his life where he saw Jesus, and the Bible says that he ran to him and worshiped him. And in that moment, his life changed because Jesus commanded the unclean spirits to come out of him, and they departed from him in that very moment. His life was changed because he had an encounter with God. Well, let's pick it up in verse 18, because we'll see that after this encounter with God and after he's delivered, he wants to just be with Jesus. But let's see what Jesus instructs him to do. Verse 18 says, "And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." You know, it's so often, many times, that we have encounters with Jesus and our lives are changed, that instead of wanting to go tell everybody about what Jesus has done, we just kind of want to be selfish and sit there and bask in the glory. But Jesus challenges the man to say, hey, your life has been changed. You know, your life has been delivered. You're not the same person that you were before. People would be amazed. Now, don't just let it stop here. You go and tell somebody about the good things that's happened to you. And the Bible says that the man went, and not only did he tell one person and tell his family and his friends, but the Bible says that Decapolis was like a region of 10 cities. He went throughout 10 cities telling about the goodness of what Jesus had done, about how he had experienced the love and compassion of Jesus. Well, today we're going to start a new series of lessons on the power of one. And I'm so excited about teaching you this lesson, like I'm always excited to stand before you and minister. But I know that this lesson is important to you fulfilling God's plan in your life. That this lesson is important, just like any other message, this is an important lesson to you fulfilling and operating in God's plan for your life. You know, New Light, we're a great church. Give yourselves a big hand clap. Oh, you can do better than that. Give yourselves a big hand clap. New Light is a great church with great visionaries, Pastor Dr. Bridget. We have a great membership. We get taught wonderful word on everything that's important to our lives and how we're supposed to live as believers. We get the lessons on prosperity. We get the lessons on healing. We get the lessons on faith, and the list goes on and on. There's no area in our life that I believe that Bishop has not already touched on, or somebody in this ministry has not preached on, so that our lives could be the better. Well, I believe that New Light, we're on the brink of something amazing happening in our ministry, like something amazing has happened before, but God is about to do something just supernatural in our ministry. And as we embark on this time, we've been taught so much about the scripture, and everything that Pastor teaches us is scripture. We can go to the Word of God and we can back it up with the scripture, but I believe that this lesson on the power of our testimony and the power of one will impact our lives and the life of this church. You know, we're approaching this phenomenal day in the ministry where Pastor has asked everybody to bring one, and we want every member to bring one person to church. And in doing that, bringing one is not just for us to get the buildings filled and just to have a bunch of people at church, but bringing one is an opportunity for all of us to obey a profound mandate in the Word of God of us sharing the good news with people around us. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not just supposed to come to church and get a good word for ourselves, but we're to go and share the good news that the Bible has left, that God has done, and then the good things that God has done in our own personal lives. You know, one thing that we know here at New Light is that Bishop hears from God. How many can agree to that? Our man of God truly hears from God. And several years ago, he told us that God instructed him, he gave us a mandate, that God had instructed him to release his faith and release our faith for 50,000 active members in our covenant church family. And in doing that, Pastor instructed us that God wanted to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And he told us that he would work through the pew, and we started developing the Saint to Saint ministry, which later developed in the Power of 12. Then Pastor instructed us that we had to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to do his work. And then we got instructed on lifestyle evangelism. But I believe that we're at a point where God is pushing us to take it to the next level and to continue the divine mandate that this church has been called to raise people who will reach out to others, who will reach out to the hurting, who will reach out to people who just need to know that God is a good God, he honors his word, and he'll do exactly what his word says. But guess what? New Light, you're great, and everything is good, and we've been taught the Word of God, and many of you may have heard this before, but God requires so much more of us. Say, God requires more of us. He wants more of us than just coming to church and getting a good message and our lives being changed, but he wants us to share the good news of what's been done in our lives so that others can experience what the good news can do in their lives. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. And while you're turning, I just want you to reflect for a moment. How many of you can truly say that God has done something to change your life? I believe everybody's hand should go up. If not, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to taste and see that this life is really a good life. It's not saying that you won't face trials and temptations, but it's saying that when I know that I've got Jesus on my side, no matter how bad it looks, I know I'm gonna come out on top. So we can say that God has done something to change our lives, whether it's financial, whether it's physically in our body, whether it's changing our state of mind. Since we've had an encounter with Jesus, our lives have not been the same. I don't know about you, but my life has not been the same since I had an encounter with Jesus. You know, somebody else needs to hear about the good things that God has done for you. And I trust that after today, you will be so stirred up and so encouraged to go out and share the good news of what's happened in your life so that somebody else can hear what's possible with a relationship with God. And maybe you're hearing you saying, well, Pastor, I haven't experienced all that, and I don't know what a relationship with Jesus is all about. Well, I trust that you'll make a step in that path of saying, okay, God, I'm gonna trust what they said, and I'm going to trust that what you did for them, you'll do for me, and you'll start the path so that one day you can go out and begin to share the good things that Jesus has done in your life. Are you in Matthew chapter 28? Because this is what God calls us to do. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I had commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. This scripture is not just for the pastor and just for the preacher and the evangelist, but this scripture is our instruction as believers that we're to go into all the world. We're not just supposed to stay in here and talk to each other about how good God is, but we're to go into all the world and share with them and teach them how to observe and how to do what the Word of God says. The scripture is clear on the revelation of sharing the good news. You know, Pastor gave us a word several years ago on sharing the good news, and he called it lifestyle evangelism. We found that out that lifestyle evangelism is the promotion of the lifestyle and love of Jesus in and around others through genuine relationships to allow the Holy Spirit to coordinate a moment to witness and to share the gospel message to somebody. Lifestyle evangelism is an established priority of Christians. We got to understand that this is just as important as any other thing in the Bible. It's just as important as our prosperity. It's just as important as our healing. It's just as important as using our faith. Us sharing the word of God and sharing the good news and sharing the good things that God has done is just as important as all those other things. Prosperity is scripture. And you know I'm not knocking prosperity because I believe in the abundance of God. I'm not knocking healing, but just as important as we use our faith and we are, you know, we trust God. Okay, God, you know, thank you for my healing. We got to stretch and decide, I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to do what I need to do to fulfill this area of what God has called me to do. The Bible talks about how we can see in the scripture that sharing the good news to others is modeled by Jesus. And how many of you know we're supposed to be more like Jesus, right? That's our whole goal, is to be more like Jesus. And what would Jesus do? Well, if we look in the Bible, Jesus models this pattern all throughout his ministry on the earth. He's going and sharing the good news. He's even talking to people that some people thought he shouldn't even been bothered with, but he took the time to share the good news. He said, hey, I want your life to be different, so I want to share the good things that God can do and the good things that my Father can do. So it's modeled by Jesus. Then we see in the scripture, turn to Mark chapter 16, that it's the mandate of scripture. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for preachers, but every believer has a mandate to share the good news. Are you in Mark chapter 16? We saw it in Matthew chapter 28, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Verse 15 at Mark 16, 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Amplified Version says that he said to them, go into the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel to every creature of the whole human race. So we have a responsibility, we have a mandate of the scripture that we're to go and to share the good news. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, because not only is it modeled by Jesus, and not only is it the mandate of the scripture, but it's the believer's mission. Say, this is my mission. Matthew 25, verse 37 is that this is our mission. The Bible says that we serve Jesus by serving others. You want to do something for the kingdom of God, you got to do something for others. The Bible says in verse 37 in Matthew 25, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So when I take time to do something to somebody and share the good news, I'm serving Jesus in essence. And we got to get excited about this aspect of the plan of God for our lives, just as we would get excited about anything else, because this is a part of the whole plan that God has called us to live as believers. It's modeled by Jesus. It's a mandate of the scripture, and it's the mission of the believer. But even though we see it's modeled by Jesus and we see it's mandated in the scripture, when we know that it's our mission, why is it that many believers have resistance to sharing the good news? Why is it that we don't take advantage of the opportunities to share the good things that God has done? You know, when we're sitting in the nail shop and people are marveling at, you know, the life that we live in, you know, there's an opportunity for a conversation to strike. Why isn't that we share the good news? Why are we in the barbershop when we're there getting our hair cut, and instead of gossiping about the next thing, that's an opportunity that God has arranged to share the good news. And let me explain something to you. When I'm saying share the good news and share the good things that God has done, like I tell my teens, God doesn't expect you to get up on top of the lunchroom table and stop and say, hey, everybody, listen. God is not expecting you to stand up in your office, in your cubicle, and say, it's Bible study time. Everybody got to listen to me. But God is saying that when those moments are arranged for you, where you have an opportunity that the Holy Spirit has set up, you have to be willing to push beyond the norm, overcome the resistance, and say, let me just tell you about the good things that God has done. You know, while you're focusing on your problem, let me just share with you how good God is. It's not a whole public declaration where you out of order and out of protocol and you won't have Bible study. It's just taking those small moments that God has arranged for you to tell somebody what a good God we serve. Amen? So knowing the mandate is to reach the world for Jesus, one of the greatest ways to reach the world is by sharing the good news to others so that we can win them to Christ. We must remove all barriers, because the greatest thing is, you know, the greatest tool for marketing is mouth to mouth. So that means if he can keep resistance to keep us sharing the good news, we miss out on one of the greatest strategies to share the gospel. Because marketers know, if you can get a word and tell somebody, you know, there's this rule that somebody will tell like 12 or more people if they have a negative experience. And we talk about good restaurants we go to. We talk about good places we like to go and we see a good movie. Well, we got to be just that excited to talk about the goodness of God and remove any hindrances so that we can fulfill this great commission that God has called us to fulfill. And so when we remove all barriers, we have to remove the barriers so that we can fulfill the assignment in God's plan, because this is a part of God's total plan for our lives. We have to remove the barriers of excuses that are based on irresponsible actions of others. Well, just because somebody else didn't know how to tell their testimony right doesn't mean that you are not have the power of one by sharing your testimony. You know, we can't let negative naysayers who look for opportunities to condemn and discount us, keeping us from telling the good things that God has done. Just because someone in the barbershop talking about your man of God, just because they negative and they discount what God has done, don't you just sit back and shut up and not say nothing and, you know, deny that opportunity for you to talk about the good things that God has done in your life. We have to remove the barrier of the distraction of our personal agendas and worldly cares. We can get so consumed with our own personal agenda that we forget that this is what God has called us to do. And then we have to remove the barrier of personal witnessing as seen as an extracurricular activity. This is not extra. This is one of our roles of what we've been created to do as believers. So even though we may face some resistance to sharing the good news, we have to have the resolve to share the good news in every situation. And sharing the good news is just as important as every other assignment that God has given us and that we've been given by Christians. It's just as important as tithing. It's just as important as, you know, living a holy lifestyle. Sharing the good news is right up there with the rest of them. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to excel in all the other assignments that God has given me and come short in this area. I don't want to have everything else, and then when God says, did you do this? I didn't overcome the barriers. I didn't overcome the resistance, and I missed an opportunity to share the good news with somebody else. I don't want to stop short of God's plan for my life. I'm appreciative to every person who ever decided they were going to share their testimony, because my life needed their example. Well, guess what? Somebody else needs your example, and don't fall short in God's plan for your life. You know, New Life, we're known for a lot of things, but let's not fall short in this area. Let's decide we're going all the way. You know, we're known as a church that gets taught good word, and we're known as people who understand the word of God, and we're known as people that understand that you're supposed to be prosperous, and all that is great, but let's go all the way with God, and let's be known as a people that love others, that want to, you know, have the compassion of Jesus flowing through our hearts, that are going to make a difference in our generation. Let's be known for all that and not fall short in this area. Are you willing to share what God has done in your life? Because what he's done for one, he will do for another. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:30 how God was saying that he was searching for a man to stand in the gap, but he found none. And I don't know about you, but I don't want on my record that God needed somebody to share the good news and share the good things that he had done in their life, and he couldn't find one. I'm going to be the one that God can count on to say, that's my child. If I give her an opportunity, she's going to share the good news. You got to decide in your own life, you're going to be the one that God can count on, that when he ranges a situation and somebody needs, you know, the other day I was at a place and I was doing something personal, and the girl says, I just feel like, you know, I'm so honored that you're here. Well, I didn't let that opportunity miss me, because she was saying, you know, you're a preacher, and I just feel goosebumps, and I'm like, hey, living for God pays off. I didn't want to preach her a whole sermon, but I wanted to give her just enough to let her know that, hey, if you do it God's way, and if you live a lifestyle pleasing to God, he will honor his word. And all she has to do is hang around me long enough, and her life is going to see that this is the best way to go. I told her, living for God is better than any other thing, and I love what I do. But you got to understand that, hey, I'm not going to fall short. This is what I've been called to do. And if I, you know, the whole lesson is the power of one. Just me, one person. He said, God said, if I could just find one person to stand in the gap, but I found none. But I'm going to be that one person that God can count on, that I'm going to say, okay, God, here am I. Arrange an opportunity so I can share the good news. I want it all. I want the prosperity. I want the abundance. I want the healing. But I also want to please God in every area of my life. And you have to make a decision that you're not going to be ashamed, but you're going to resolve. You're going to have an unwavering commitment that this is what God has called me to do. Because I'm appreciative for what he's done, I'm going to make sure I have an opportunity, that when I have an opportunity, I'm going to share the good news. And I don't know about you, but I'm appreciative for what God has done. Because if it had not been for God on my side, I don't know where I would be. We can't stay there long, but if you just think back on the situations that God has saved you from and delivered you from and brought you out, and all he's saying is, I just want you to tell just one person of the goodness of God. If it hadn't been for God on my side, I don't know where I would be. Okay, calm down. Because in our final moments, let's look at the scriptural pattern for dynamic, effective testimonies, the supernatural purpose for dynamic, effective testimonies, and the simple profile for dynamic, effective testimonies, because we want to maximize the moment. We don't want to miss out on the moment by, you know, taking people on a wild goose chase. We want to maximize the moment, and that's the reason why we say a dynamic, effective testimony. Say dynamic. Effective testimony. Dynamic is something that is more impactful than at first glance. Effective is, we say effective because we want to produce a strong impression or a response. And so we put it all together. This is our definition for a dynamic, effective testimony. It is the articulation, the affirmation, or acknowledgement of a victorious experience that is more impactful than at first glance, that is shared in a manner where it produces a strong impression or response that glorifies God and points men to Jesus. I give it to you again. A dynamic, effective testimony is the articulation, affirmation, or acknowledgement of a victorious experience that is more impactful than at first glance, that is shared in a manner where it produces a strong impression or response that glorifies God and points men to Jesus. And the scriptural pattern for a dynamic, effective testimony can be seen by looking at what others did after an encounter with Jesus. Turn over to John chapter 4, because we saw it in our foundational scripture. The demoniac, he was healed, he was delivered. The Bible says that he wasn't even the same man. A man that couldn't even be tamed was now sitting there clothed in his right mind, and after his encounter, Jesus instructed him to go tell somebody of the good things that had been done in his life. Well, over in John chapter 4, here's the woman of Samaria, and the Bible talks about, these are her instructions in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that they would tarry with him, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Here, the woman of Samaria, she arranged a moment for not only her life to be changed, but for somebody else's life to be changed. You know, we draw a lot of points from this story that, you know, about her state and where she was. But one thing we see is that her encounter with Jesus didn't just stop in her changing her life, but she started the process to change somebody else's life. She went and told him, hey, you got to come see this man. And that's how you have to be. You got to come go to church with me. You know, I'm not saying you lost. And I'm not saying your life is messed up, but your life can be a lot better than it is now. And there's a man in my city that's teaching the word of God that God is working through. And I want you to just come see the good things that are happening in my life. Because she made that decision, not only was her life changed, but when they had an opportunity to hear Jesus for themselves, the Bible says that they believed, but it all started because she talked about the good things that God has done. There's an underlying theme that when God does something for man, we must tell somebody. And you can't ever discount your testimony because it seems like it's not major. It may just be the word that somebody needs to bring them closer to Jesus or bring them to know him for themselves. So don't ever discount your testimony. Well, you know, it ain't all that great. You know how Pastor talks about how he had an angel visit him and, you know, the angel said, go preach the gospel. You know, everybody don't have that. Not saying that that's wrong, but you can't just discount your testimony because you didn't have an angel come visit you. Whatever God has done in your life is just as important, it's just as valuable as the angel visiting our man of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because there is supernatural purpose for a dynamic, effective testimony. And many times we get hung up because we don't think we can share it. But when we obey the mandate to share the good news, we trigger the supernatural power of God to bless the lives of those that hear. You know, well, Pastor, I can't articulate myself like Pastor. And we got to remember, we got to remove the excuses and the barriers, and we got to know that if I'm willing to obey God and God orchestrates the point, the Holy Spirit will do his work to make whatever comes out my mouth, long as I follow the formula and I'm clear when I do it, God's going to do something supernatural in that moment. Are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Verse 1, and for time's sake, I want to read it to you out of the Message translation. It says, you'll remember, friends, that, and this is Paul writing, that when I came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, and if you want the truth of it, and so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. What does that say is that if you will just be simple and sharing the good news, plain and say, hey, this is, you know, you ain't got to try to be somebody else and you ain't got to go to the Hebrew and the Greek. You just be what God told you to be. Share the testimony that God has given you. Keep it plain and simple. And then now the Holy Spirit kicks in his supernatural power. And when the people hear, they hear God's word and they hear exactly what they need in their situation. There's a supernatural purpose for your dynamic, effective testimony that can only be fulfilled when you step out and share what God has done. The good news can only be communicated by man. That's why the Bible says go, because we have to communicate the good news. When there's a need for a contemporary example of ancient truth, God needs to raise somebody up so that they can see a modern day example. It's good about what David did, and it's good that Moses had a testimony, but God needs some contemporary examples in the earth so he can show people that God is still doing the supernatural, he's still doing the miraculous, and he's still doing the incredible. And I know a lot of people don't like that word, but God can do some things that will literally amaze you, and you'll step back and say, it had to be God. Then number 3, the supernatural purpose is when all the resources are depleted and the person is facing give up, God needs us to be willing to step up and say, hey, it's possible to come out of any situation. That person may be at their last straw and saying, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm tired of looking at him. But when they hear what happened in your life and how God changed your situation around, it's just enough to push them to say, I can keep trusting God because nothing's too hard for him. When a seeker is looking for direction, a testimony can point them in the right way, because they can hear your testimony and they can see themselves in a similar situation, and now they have a roadmap to see how to come out and come out on top. Then when the scripture seems like it's threatening, and, you know, soft words of a testimony can melt the hearts. You know, the scripture Malachi 3:8-10 about tithing, it can be a little harsh when you read it. But then when you hear the testimony of somebody tithing and operating the principle, it kind of softens your ear to hear, and it's okay, maybe this thing is not so bad, and if it worked for them, it could work for me. Then when you need to be encouraged in the faithfulness of God, I kind of like how David did. David encouraged himself by just reflecting back on the goodness of God. And there are some times in our own lives that we just need to tell our own self the goodness of God. It ain't about going to tell somebody else. You need to just sit back and say, wait a minute, I'm in this situation and it is challenging, but when I think back over my life, God delivered me from that. He delivered me from that. He delivered me from that. So I'm encouraged on my own. Okay, God, come on, let's do this because we can make it out on top. Don't ever despise your testimony because it triggers the supernatural power of God. So you saying, but, you know, okay, Pastor, I got all that. But I don't really know how to do this. I don't know how to share the good news. I'm not eloquent. You know, I'm a little country. I'm a little country too, you know. I say a little slang every now and then. But if you will follow a simple profile of the dynamic effective testimony, you can make a difference in somebody's life. Because if you understand how to deliver a testimony and deliver the good news, and you spend time preparing before the opportunity comes, and you spend time, you know, preparation is good. You got to prepare yourself. Then God will do his part by arranging opportunities for you to share it. You'll take advantage of the moment because you've prepared for that moment, and God will get the glory. Turn over to Acts chapter 26, and I want you to just kind of sit there for a second. Because remember our definition, dynamic effective testimony. It's the articulation, the affirmation, or acknowledgement of a victorious experience that is more impactful than at first glance, that is shared in a manner where it produces a strong impression or response that glorifies God and points men to Jesus. So we want to be effective, right? We don't want to just, you know, be telling people stuff and it's not effective. You know, I don't like to talk to people and it takes forever for them to get to the point. Am I the only person like that? I'm not really a phone type of person. So when somebody talking to me, you know, and I'll drift, you know, and everybody that works with me knows you got to come in, get to the point, say what you got to say because I got other things to do. Don't be trying to take me all around the mountain, come back around, go back, just tell me what you got to say. And I hate for people to talk to me for like 30 minutes and be trying to tell me something. And then when they finish, I'm still sitting there confused. Y'all want to play me like I'm the only one. I mean, yeah, you know somebody trying to tell you a story, and they, you know, they taking forever to tell you the story, and they going all around the mountain. They done wasted 30 minutes of your time, and then when they say they done, you still looking like, huh? We don't want to be like that when we share our testimony. We want to take advantage of the moment. If it's a quick moment, we want to take advantage of it, be effective, be clear. Get out the people's way so God can do his work. Amen? We want to make sure that we're effective in sharing our testimony. So I have a formula for you for a dynamic, effective testimony. It's real simple. Here's the formula. In sharing your testimony, you want to state where you were, where I was happening, what God did for me, where am I now, and who do I give a praise to? That's easy, right? Say where I was, what was happening, what God did for me, where I am now, and who do I give a praise to? One more time, say where I was, what was happening, what God did for me, where I am now, and who do I give a praise to? So let's break it down. Let me give you some examples. Say you had a testimony about your marriage, and somebody's sitting in the barbershop talking about how they can't stand their wife. You know, man, I understand. Because I was at a point I got married, and a month later I realized that I did not marry the same person I dated. What was happening was we was fighting like cats and dogs, and I was looking at her like, where did she come from? But what did God do for me? God arranged a moment where I came to a church that understood the importance of marriage. And I got taught the word of God. I started going to lamps. We started applying the principles. And what God did is our marriage is totally turned around. I love to see her coming. I love my baby. I can't wait to spend time with her. And God did it, and he gets all the praise. Too many. You ain't got to go, you know, well, let me take you back to 1966. And you know, we had this one fight. No. What are the points? Where I was, right? Come on, y'all, help me. Where was I? Where I was, what was happening, what God did for me, where am I now, and who do I give the praise? That's easy. Let's take another one. Say, you know, you got in trouble, got caught up, you was about to go to jail. You know, got got a little caught up. We get caught up, you know, but once we give our lives to Christ and we hold a righteous course, we don't have to fall. But, you know, back in the day, your testimony, you was facing jail time, okay? So, you know, somebody, you know, there's a teen and they got caught up with their friends and now God has arranged this moment. And he said, man, I understand, you know, I did some things, got caught up. I was facing jail time. You know, my lawyers, you know, what was happening? My lawyers didn't even believe I was going to get out. They was going to let me free. But I began to pray and I changed some things in my life. You know, I became accountable to some people and I prayed and I found God showed me favor. The judge had favor on my behalf and it was all God because I was about to go to jail. Testimony. You just shared the good news of the gospel. Or maybe, you know, you had a drug challenge, you know? You ain't got to go all around the mountain and reminisce, man, that hit used to be so good. No, you got to, you know, because sometimes when we tell stories, we get all lost in our own little world. And we be like, really? You almost want to say, come back. Come back. You know, who I remember that drink. Come back. We want to hit it, say, where I was, what was happening. What God did for me, where am I now, and who do I give a praise to? So say you had a drug challenge. You know, I had a drug challenge a couple years ago. You know, my life was messed up. My family didn't want to see me coming. You know, everything was messed up. It was all just messed up in my life. But what happened was somebody told me about Life Change Institute. I went to Life Change Institute, stayed there 90 days, got myself together, understood the word of God, and now what's happening in my life is I'm free. I've been free for about 4 years, and God gets all the praise because only he could do that in my life. It's just that simple. So what's the point? Where I was, what was happening, what God did for me, where am I now, and who do I give a praise? Let's take one more, a testimony about being financially blessed. You know, girl, I was on welfare. I was waiting for my check every month. I could not survive. I was going, you know, what was happening is I had to go get that check from the government. I look forward to my check. But somebody told me that God had a plan to bless my life. And that if I would just tithe, that even though it didn't look right, you know, it looked like I needed to be in a state of tithing. If I would just trust God, my life would change around. I started tithing, and guess what? Today, I'm off of welfare, got enough to pay my bills. I'm blessing the kingdom of God, and I give God the praise because his word really does work. It's just that simple. So what are the points? Where I was, what was happening, what did God do for me, where am I now, and who do I give the praise to? Are you at Acts? Because Paul is there before King Agrippa, and he's given the opportunity to share his testimony, and he stated it so clear where he was. If you follow him, we're not going to read it for time's sake, but he states where he was. He states what was happening, how he was persecuting people, and how he was blaspheming, what God did for him on the road to Damascus, and now he's spreading the good news, but he gives the praise to God, and he does it in such a dynamic, effective manner that let's read verse 27. It says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophecy, saying, now after I've told you all that God has done and the good news, don't you believe the prophets? And then he says, hey, I know that thou believest the prophets. One version says, you don't even have to answer because I know you believe the prophets. Verse 28 says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. He says, you gave that testimony so good about your life. And Paul was really in a bad situation. He said, you shared that thing so good and so to the point, I was about to be persuaded to be a Christian. Well, that's how you want to be. You want to be so effective in your moment that people will be persuaded to give their lives to Christ or to follow God in a greater measure. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because remember, we want our testimony to be effective. And effective is to produce a strong impression or response, but don't get distracted if they don't respond in that moment and you don't get a response, because effectiveness is not something that I can judge, but it's left up to heaven. And you have to be focused that I'm following the formula, I did it right, I'm going to, you know, maximize my time, I'm sharing my testimony in the best way possible. Now God has to do the work. I want you to see this scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified for time's sake. Verse 5 says, what then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Ministering service, not heads of parties through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each task. I planted, Paul, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. He who plants and he who waters are equal, one in aim, of the same importance and esteem. Yet each shall receive his own reward, wages, according to his own labor. For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building, according to the grace, the special endowment for my task of God bestowed on me. Like a skillful architect and master builder, I laid the foundation, and now another man is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. This scripture tells us, and my father taught me this when I first began to preach, that don't get all caught up on responses, because everybody has a role. And you may be the person that's just planting the seed of the good news. Somebody else may come along and water that seed that you planted, and then somebody else may come along that water it, but it's God that gives the increase. But I'm going to do my part so the next person can do their part. So you may be the planter where you plant the seed, and then somebody else will come along and water, and they'll be like, oh, I heard that before. It must be something to this thing. But don't get distracted, because they don't fall on their knees right at that moment. Just know, hey, I was effective in my delivery, and now I got something that they're thinking about. Because there's a process to receiving a harvest. The farmer plants the seed. He goes back and he waters it, and he waters it, and then the harvest comes forth. So whatever role you're playing and sharing your testimony, you got to know, hey, this is important to the whole process. And you sharing your testimony is important, and you want to make impact. So I have 5 keys to give an effective testimony. Got to be clear. Remember, we don't want to take them around the mountain. Let's be clear. Must be consistent. You know, don't be trying to add stuff that's not supposed to be added. Be consistent. Must be conclusive. Don't leave people standing there wondering, like, did God really do it? You know, is God still working on her? Let's be conclusive. Be correct. Don't be philosophizing and, you know, trying to make your testimony more than what it is. Remember, even though it may not look like it's a lot, it's dynamic, because at first glance it may not look like it's impactful, but it'll impact somebody, and then it must be compelling. And compelling means that you got to be so excited about sharing your testimony that people get excited with you, because nobody wants to know about the God you serve if you're bored with it. You know, God, he did a work in my life, and, you know, my marriage was bad. I don't want that kind of marriage if you're still not excited about it. You got to be compelling. You got to be excited about sharing the testimony that God is giving you. You know, I'm excited at every time God gives me an opportunity to share what he's done, because, number one, I'm in expectation of what he's going to do in somebody else's life. And then I know that I'm doing what God called me to do. And then I'm appreciative to what he's done. So if you just give me an opportunity, I'm going to get excited about this thing. You know, I think back when my father shares his testimony, that no matter how many times we've heard it, it always seems like it's fresh. It's always exciting. It's always compelling. It's always captivating. And I can always be encouraged and draw something from his testimony. I mean, I've heard the testimonies for years, and I know many times when he's sharing the testimonies, you know, we could probably tell the testimonies ourselves. But if you're like me, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat like, okay, what am I going to get from it this time? Because I know that it's going to raise my level of faith, because he compels and brings us into the testimony. You know, whether he's telling his testimony about tithing, and I like how he does it. How many of you have heard this testimony before, and you almost don't want to raise your hand because you want to hear it one more time, but you can't lie in the church? But, you know, he tells the testimony of tithing. You know, he talks about how he started tithing when he's only making $65, and, you know, and then he started tithing with $6.50. It didn't shake the people and the deacons counting the money, but God recognized it. And then you look at his life from a $6.50 tithe to 1 year they gave $1 million to the kingdom of God. Hey, that's the kind of God I want to serve. You know, or it may be him telling the story of his marriage, on how him and Dr. Bridget used to hate to see each other coming years and years ago. but how they work the principle, and now they love working together. They love being together. God's transformation power can be seen in their testimony. Or it's the story and the testimony of his obedience to God, that when God gave him a mandate, that even though he was trembling, he trusted God. When God told him to hand the man the check and said, this check is no good, but he obeyed God, and God showed up, that if I obey God, God will show up in my life. You know, it just stirs your faith when you hear his testimony. Or maybe it's the testimony about him wanting to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know, he goes to his uncle's church and they dancing and you know, all around him, and you know, they trying to get it and get it, he gonna get it, and you know, he tired the drummer out, you know, they was trying to get him the Holy Spirit so bad. But one day in his car, he asked God to fill him with the Holy Spirit, and although it sounded like a little mumble jumble by, you know, he go through the whole by, now he has a beautiful prayer language, and he lets us know that it's because he's filled with the Holy Spirit that he hears things and sees things and has wisdom and direction for his life. We know that God will perform his word, but one testimony I like to hear every time, and that's the testimony of the bus story. That there he was, you know, car was messed up, he the preacher man, teaching the word of faith, and there he is driving the church's bus. Kids running up and down, and I was a little girl then, you know, running up and down the bus, but he's trusting God to do exactly what his word said. And the Bible said, you know, he said, you know, I say it's the Bible because I hear it so much, you got to say, okay, is that pastor the Bible? But pastor tells us, he says, you know, I was there, and I was driving the 66 passenger bus, and I was shifting gears saying, I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. He's shifting the big 66 passenger bus. I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. Well, we can see now he has a choice of any car he wants to drive. He flies helicopters by day and jets by night. God performs his word. Well, guess what? Our lives are the better because Pastor was willing to share the good news of his encounter with Jesus. Our marriages are the better because Pastor and Dr. Bridges said, our life is an open testimony for you to see that if God will do it for me, he will do it for you. Well, guess what? God needs more than just Pastor and Dr. Bridget. He needs you and he needs me to decide, I'm going to be a person that will tell somebody else about the good things that Jesus has done. You know, my father taught me when I first started teaching in ministry, he learned this and he taught me that, you know, and so, you know, when you haven't lived long enough, you don't have a whole lot of testimony. But it's okay to go and piggyback and take somebody's test. You know, don't make it your own, but tell somebody else's testimony. And so he taught me the art of telling other people's testimony. And then he said, just like he was instructed, if you live long enough, you'll have a testimony of your own. Well, guess what? I've stood in their shadows and I've watched God do tremendous things in their lives. And I can't truly testify like my dad. He has a way of telling stories that captivate and you almost feel like you're in the moment. Can't really testify like mommy because she can preach that thing and, you know, turn it all around. But guess what? I can testify like Arisha because that's who I am. I can testify and tell you the story of how when I was laying in the freeway, it was the angels and the power of God that delivered my life from destruction. I can tell you how that I've practiced the principle. I'm not just his daughter, but I've practiced the principle of sowing, and I've watched God's favor come upon my life to buy houses and to do things that people couldn't imagine that I could do at 30. But not just that, I was a PK living my life in a bunch of turmoil, and I shared with you last week that the last time I preached you that I was at a point where I didn't know what to do, but I gave my life to Jesus, and I had an encounter with him that changed the course of my life. So now I'm 30 years old, and I can understand, like the old songwriter used to write. The old songwriters used to write a song that talks about how I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. I was a PK sinking, but like the writer says, but the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me, safe am I. But I love the chorus because it says, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Even when nothing else could help, God's love lifted me. Well, guess what? You may be like me. Love has lifted you from depression. Love has lifted you from perversions. Love has lifted you from suicide. Love has lifted your marriage. And you got a responsibility to go tell somebody God's love can lift you too. And you may be here and you may say, well, Pastor, I don't have a testimony. me. I can't say love lifted me. But I'll tell you this, if you will step into God's plan for your life and embrace his plan, he will give you a testimony. And then you can say like me, he'll do more than you'll ever imagine. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. Let God use the testimony of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Hallelujah.